Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Dana, for that song. Very appropriate. And may the Lord give all of us that desire to be drawn nearer to Him, to His precious believing side. Well, for those that don't know me, I haven't been here in a while. I'm Stephen Westbrook, and I serve in the pastoral ministry at Grace Bible Chapel. And as Brother Dan was highlighting, we are now located at 27345 Schoolcraft, so not very far from there. And we had our first service there in December. It was actually Christmas Day. And, you know, we had the mindset that if we relocated to this location, that the Lord was going to really bless in terms of reaching more souls for Christ, being a greater impact in the neighborhood, and that has been the case. And I'm just thrilled to see what the Lord has done there. We're getting visitors every week, new people, and so just pray for us. In the will of the Lord, we're going to have the grand opening dedication April the 16th. And I'll be sure to pass some information on to you if you would like to come by. We would love to have you to celebrate with us. Let's look to the Word of God. And Psalms 51 is where we're going to be. Main text this morning. Psalms 51. And let's just read through it. We'll have prayer and then I'll share with you the subject for today. Psalms 51. And this is a Psalm of David. Psalm of David. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part, that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thou my face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from what guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thy lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. Thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let's pray. Our Father God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Spirit, O God, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word that we might hear from you. So, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to receive the teaching this morning. Lord, prick the hearts of those that may be lost. And help us, Lord, now as we look to your word, that you might receive the preeminence in all that is said and done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So what I want to talk about today is a couple of things come to mind. One thing I want to talk about is sin management. You ever heard of sin management? Sin management. And the other subject I want to talk about will fall in line with this is brokenness. Brokenness. Let's first begin to talk a little bit about sin management. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. Does anybody know that about her? I think David said he has. All right, 1 John. If you have your Bible, can you turn with me to that one, 1 John 1:9? I'd like us to say this, read this together. It's very important. 1 John 1:9. Reading, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Sin management. So we need, as believers in Christ, we need to manage our sins. Now, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. You're a liar. Right? You just sinned. but we need to manage our sins because every day that the Lord gives us, we sin by thought, word, or deed. We sin. So we need to manage that. So 1 John 1:9 gives us an idea of how to manage our sin. It begins by confessing. Confessing. You must confess your sin. It says, if, you've got to do it, if we confess our sins, he, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if you confess it, he'll forgive it. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? One of the wonderful blessings that Christians can enjoy is sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Now, I know what it's like to commit a sin and it affects my wife. Or back when I was younger, it affected my father or my mother. They were disappointed in my behavior. And that fellowship is broken. Do you know what I'm talking about? You did something and it hurt them. The fellowship is broken and you want to experience that forgiveness. You want to be back on good terms. You're talking, you're laughing, you're hugging, you're loving one another again. So it's a wonderful blessing to have and to experience forgiveness. But there's more. There's more we can receive. It goes on to say we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness is good, but being cleansed is better. You ever go to the car wash now, and when you go to the car wash, it says good, better. No, it says, what does it say? How's it going, y'all? Good, better, best. And each one has a higher price, right? This is the best thing, to be cleansed. To be cleansed, to have completely washed away. And so our scripture reading, we're reading that Psalm of David. He wasn't satisfied with just being forgiven. David wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be washed away. So let's go back and look at this text we read in Psalms 51. Prior to this, David had he did some terrible things. Now we know David is the man after God's own heart, right? But David did some terrible things. As you understand, I'm kind of getting into too many details. It was in the springtime. You know, spring is tomorrow. Hey, spring starts tomorrow. And during the springtime, David being a man of war, David was a warrior. This was the time they would go out and fight. They would go out and fight. Well, where was David at? At home. And so he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Now, that's a clue, folks. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Clue. So anyway, he was there and he just happened to find himself at an advantageous position where he could see a woman bathing.
Bathsheba.
Wrong place, the wrong time, doing the wrong thing. Well, we know what happened. He committed adultery with her, and her husband, who was out doing what he was supposed to be doing, Uriah, he was out fighting. He had Uriah killed to cover up the pregnancy. Just a horrible thing. And he was confronted by Nathan. Let's look at that right quick. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. He was confronted about his sin. And Nathan gives him the story and tells him what happened. And we'll pick it up at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And after Nathan had told him all these things that this horrible man had did, Nathan says to him in verse 7, David, thou art the man. The man I was just talking about that did all these horrible things, that had committed adultery with Bathsheba, that had her husband killed, and numerous other things. That man is you. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel, of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? How could you have done this, David? How could you have done this after all that God has given to you? How could you have committed this evil? Let's drop down to verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. So a year had passed after this confrontation. And that's where we find ourselves in Psalm 51. Nathan had told him what he did. David confessed. Supposedly things were right. Supposedly fellowship was back. He had his fellowship with the Lord again. But it was still bothering David. It was still bothering him. David had become what I call broken. Was experiencing brokenness. Now, what is brokenness? A brokenness is what should precede repentance. Brokenness should precede repentance. In other words, you have come to the point that you realize that I got to get it right with God. Think about the prodigal son. Now, I know that sometimes we think the one that stayed at home or the one that went away, which one is really the prodigal? Well, let's talk about the prodigal son that went away. Right? He asked his father, give me all my money and I'm leaving. He went away. Well, the story, as the narrative goes, he went out there, he spent everything, he lived righteous life, and he found himself eating in a pig's pen. He found himself eating in a pig's pen. Scripture says he came to himself. He came to himself. He finally realized that I've gone too far. You know, sin will take you farther than you want to go, will keep you longer than you want to be gone, and will cost you more than you will in the past. And David, the prodigal son, had come to this point. I'm wrong. I'm out of fellowship with the Lord. I'm broken. I'm going back home. It was better for him to go back home. So that brokenness, that's the point where you finally realize, I got to stop this. I got to stop this sin. My sin management is way out of order. I've been sinning, and it's got to stop. You know, confessing it and experiencing that forgiveness, as I said, it's a good thing, but it's not good enough, y'all.
And you keep going back into that sin, and you keep asking for forgiveness, and that cycle, right? And I think sometimes we don't realize we're broken because we're not paying attention to the signs of brokenness. I was thinking about a car. You know, in our cars, we have an instrument panel, right? And you have gauges, right? Anybody familiar with that? And you have a gauge that shows how much gas you have, maybe even oil. You have a gauge that indicates if the car is hot, right? We're not paying attention to the gauges. We're not paying attention. Those gauges are to alert you that something is wrong and something needs to be addressed. Like in my car, it says service engine soon. I let my oil change go too far last time. I looked at that light for about 3 weeks. What gives? And that's kind of what happens. You know, we just start to ignore the gauges, the light that's telling you you need to do something about this. And you know, these new cars now, they have something called what's it called? Lane assist, driver assist, and. You know, I tried to test it one day. My newer car that I have now has that in it. And so I'm on the express. Don't try this at home, boy. Don't try it on the road. I let go of the steering wheel. Yeah, I did it. And the car started drifting toward the line. You know what it does? It gives you a bump. And it kind of pushes you back. It's very interesting, right? So now they've got more advanced in these gauges. But it tells you when you're getting out of your lane, when you're getting out of a place that you're supposed to be. And so, as a Christian, God has given us certain things to remind us when we are getting out of our lane. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. Now, some people might tell you, let your conscience be your guide. Let your conscience. Anybody heard that? Please don't. Don't do that. Now the Bible does talk about conscience. In fact, the writer Paul talks about conscience in the book of Acts 21 times. 21 times. So different types of conscience. There's a good conscience. There's a pure conscience. There's an evil conscience. And there's a seared conscience. You don't want to be seared. I think a good conscience is somewhat obvious, but a evil conscience is that conscience that can no longer be trusted. That conscience is that conscience that's not paying attention to the gauges, right? It's ignoring the gauges. And then there's a seared conscience. That conscience cannot even be reached anymore, right? They figured out how to not even ignore the gauges. They pulled the wires out of the back, and the gauges don't even work anymore. That's the seared conscience. But God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lets us know. And let me make sure. I think it's in Timothy. Hold on one moment. I'll be with you on that. This scripture I want to share on conscience. I'm sorry, on the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Talk about this really quick. In case someone tells you to, you know, pay attention to your conscience. No. We have it. God's given us that, but something a little bit better we need to do. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. And start at verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry,
Abba, Father. Pay attention to this next verse. The Spirit itself, meaning the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit that we have since we have been saved beareth witness to our spirits as individuals. It lets us know that we are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit also lets us know when we're getting out of our lane. It lets us know when the light is on. Hey, you're a believer. You're a child of God. Straighten up. Get right. Repent. Now, that was a whole lot of stuff before I got to David. Let's go to David now. Again, we're talking about sin management. We're talking about brokenness. Psalms 51. He's been confronted by Nathan. Supposedly he asked, he got it all right. He got things right with God, but it's still bothering David. He says, back to verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I want to stop right here. Some very important things here. David is at this point of brokenness now. He finally realized how far out of fellowship he is with God. He finally realized the depravity of his sin. So he asked the Lord to blot his transgressions, to wash me, and to cleanse me. Blot, wash, and cleanse. Now, I'll confess, I'm 58. And there's certain things about laundry that I don't know. There's some things that I do know. I do remember the wringer tub. Anybody had a wringer tub? Yeah, okay. And so you dig in the bottom, wash the clothes, you pull them out, and you run them through the wringer. Okay. And then you hang them up to dry, unless you have to dry. Now, even before that, they had something called a washboard. The scrub board? I didn't use it. I saw it, but I never used it. So a scrub board is the purpose. First you put the clothes in the water with the soap, and the scrub board is to agitate that stain. Right? Add some friction to it so that it might remove it. That's the blotting. That's the blotting. It's like you write something with ink. Now they do have some erasable ink now. Let's say you use a pencil, right? And you have an eraser. You don't just slide it across what you want to erase. You push it. You agitate that which you want to remove. So that's the blotting he's talking about. He said, blot it out, and then wash me. So he's on the scrub board. Lord, put me on the scrub board. And then Lord, dip me down in the soapy water, wash me, and then cleanse me. The whole process. Y'all get that? So David really understood. He didn't want just to be rinsed off. He didn't want to just be run through the wringer. He wanted to be blotted, washed, and cleansed. Amen. Now look at this. David understood the full spectrum of his sin. He understood the full spectrum of it by using certain words. He said, blot out my what? Transgressions. Wash me from my what? Iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. There's no other word left to define sin. He defined all of them. Get rid of my transgressions. Get rid of my iniquity. Get rid of my sin. Now, let me define that for you a little bit. Transgression. A transgression is a deliberate breach of God's law. A deliberate breach of God's law. You had malice and forethought. You knew what you were going to do. I'm going to sin today, and this is what it's going to be. And I know it's wrong. That is a transgression. Where am I on time? I don't want to hold you all day. I got another hour, bro? You didn't say yes. Psalms 32 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. whose sin is covered.
Iniquity. Iniquity is unrighteousness, evil, or wicked conduct. That's iniquity. Now, iniquity is pretty synonymous with the word sin. Pretty close to the same thing. Sin is not following God's law, but it's also doing what is against God's law. So they use the word omission and commission, right? Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sin can be done in three ways. I mentioned them earlier. It's thought, word, and deed. I won't give you all these scriptures, but it's thought, word, and deed. We know that the thought of foolishness is sin, right? We know there are words that are sinful. The text I was going to give you using the word raka, but it could be even equated to cursing, right? I know nobody can get cursed. You say amen or ouch, which one is it? And of course, deed is pretty obvious, sin by deed. So, David wanted to be blotted, washed, and cleansed. And then verse 3 says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David is confessing his sins there in verse 3. "I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before thee." I think it's good to note that David didn't blame anybody for his sin. He didn't say, like, remember Adam and Eve? Remember that one? Who did he blame? "That woman you gave me. It was her, Lord." Yes, Eve was deceived. But Adam, you received the instructions. David didn't put the blame on anybody. He didn't put the... Now, we're really good at that. We're really... You know, the Lord has put me in this position now that I've been counseling people now, in marital counseling. And I haven't counseled one person yet that didn't blame the other person. Yeah. "Brother Steve, can you come counsel us? It's my husband's fault. Brother Steve, can you come counsel me? It's my wife's fault." And it goes on and on. And the hardest thing I have to do is to get them to finally come to themselves and realize that it's their gauge that's screaming red, and you need to address your own issues. They're looking at, you know, look at your gauges, right? Look at your, right? Always, it's so, and I don't know why the Lord made us like this, but we're always noticing other folks' sin and not our own. And so one of the chief things of I would say counseling 101 is self-confrontation. Getting people to see themselves. Confront yourself. So David was he had it here. He said, "And Lord, it was against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil." And he goes further. He says, verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Lord, this is from me. I did it. You know, it's nobody's fault but me, Lord. It's not my mother's fault. It's not my father's fault. I can't blame how I was raised, the home that I came up in. You know, some of us have broken homes. He said, "No, it's me, Lord. I was born this way. But I know that," verse 6, "that thou desirest truth in my inward parts, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Now David's really getting down seriously in verse 7. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now this purging with hyssop. Hyssop is a plant, like a shrub. And ceremonially, they use a shrub to, like if you read about before the 10 plagues, that they put blood on the lintel and doorpost. They use hyssop. Hyssop was used to spread the blood. But it's like that washboard. It's rough. It's used for scrubbing. And he's like, scrub me, purge me with hyssop, Lord. Now this sister, I was telling her earlier, she has a beautiful white blouse on today. And you know when you get a stain on something that's white, how difficult it is to remove that stain. And David understood that his stain required scrubbing, and washing it so I can be white as snow. Now we can't do that, right? You can try and do good. You can try and serve the needy, serve the poor. That will not wash away your sins. Only Jesus can wash away our sins and make us whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thou my face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. He keeps repeating this blotting, this purging. But when there's so much sin in our lives, when we have sinned so long, we fail to experience the joy of the Lord. We fail to experience that gladness that he wants us to have because of that sin. David wanted to experience that joy. David wanted to experience that gladness. He said, hide my face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A clean heart. A clean heart. Anybody want to have a clean heart? You know, it's nothing like starting with a clean slate. Amen. I can remember when I was a young guy growing up on the Lower West Side. I actually grew up on 12th Street where all the riots happened. That's where I lived at. And the kids I grew up with, it was just, you know, it just got out of hand, right? I don't go for all the details. And my parents finally located a new house, and we moved. That was the greatest day of my life. And not only because we were getting a new house, we had 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, woo, luxury. It was getting away from those people. Seriously. I was 12 years old when we moved. And I couldn't wait to get away from those guys. Those are my buddies. But every time I would be with them, here we are doing something that we shouldn't be doing. I just needed a clean slate. I said, Lord, just give me a clean slate. I promise. Promise, Lord, I won't fail you this time. Just get me away from these folks. And but he gives us a clean slate. They wanted a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Well, I'll try to wrap it up. I'll go to verse 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, when we don't have our hearts right with the Lord, when we are walking around with unconfessed sin in our lives, when we haven't been doing proper sin management, when we haven't paid attention to the brokenness in our lives, we don't have fellowship with the Lord. He doesn't even accept our sacrifices. It's kind of interesting because I went to communion at our church before I came over here, and I was a little upset about something I saw in the news. I let it go, at least I thought I did. I walked in the door, and his brother brought up the same issue that I was a little upset about. And I got hot. And I sort of yelled at him. And I got to go into communion. I couldn't go into communion like that. So I walked toward the door as if I was going to go into the sanctuary, and I walked back. I said, look, brother, I got to talk to you. I'm sorry. I was out of order. I should not have yelled at you. And I want you to know that I love you. Now I'm going to go to communion. God doesn't even accept our sacrifices when you have aught between you and your brother. When you have unconfessed sin in your heart. He wants us to be broken about it. Broken to the point that we ask him to help us. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just pray that you indeed will confront us with our sins. You will cause us to understand that we are indeed broken. And are in need of forgiveness, but not only forgiveness, but of cleansing. So Lord, we confess our sins, even now, asking, Lord, that you would forgive us. Lord, we did. We did, and we're sorry. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us and to cleanse us and to put us in back in right fellowship with you, O God. And for those that don't even understand what we're talking about this morning, we pray that you would prick their hearts and allow them to see that they are lost and in need of a Savior. Cause them to, as well, confess their sins, to repent and turn to you. Bless us now as we conclude this service, and we even ask you would bless the food that is awaiting the Lord's love. Be with those that are departing from this place, but not from your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
That was closing number 672. God be with you till we meet again, the first and last verse.
Amen.